All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. When you find that, stand together with me. We'll read our text for Ephesians for the final time. It's kind of a bittersweet feeling to finish this great book, but it has been a blessing, hasn't it, church? Ephesians. It's been a blessing for me. Chapter 6, look at verse number 14. Let's start in verse 14. The Bible says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now this is our primary text for today, verse 18. So I'm going to read it one more time with you, okay? And then we're going to read all the way to the end of the chapter because we're going to be finishing the book today, okay? Look at verse 18. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. With that in mind," Paul says, "and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do take Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we do pray your blessing tonight one more time on the word. I pray, God, that you'd change our lives to be more like you because of what you've spoken to us about tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for standing. This morning when I got up at 5:30 in the morning to do my devotions, anybody else get up at 5:30 this morning to do your devotion? Anyway, some of y'all are early birds, but I love the mornings. Normally I get up earlier than that, but I've been sleeping in a little bit. Just not feeling it, you know. And I really wasn't this morning, but I got up and I actually had a really good time with God this morning. And I'm in the Word. My Sunday school class already knows how I do my Bible reading. I use my phone and I study and I have my journal and I write, you know, and it's just a really good time. It's just one of my favorite times of the day. So I'm studying the Word of God. Then after I spend time doing that, then I make my way to my knees and I pray for as long as it takes. I don't have a specific amount of time that I pray. So I'll pray through my whole prayer list. I pray for all of our church every day, for all of you by name, your specific needs. And so I take note of these things and I pray for you every morning. And I did that this morning. So then I finished my time in prayer, and normally after I do that, I'll turn around, sit in my seat, and it's about 6:30, usually when I get up at my normal time, but today it was right around 7. I'm sitting there and it's time to go to the gym. That's when I go to the gym. 6:30 usually. Today would have been 7. But while I'm sitting there in my seat, I was having feelings like, I don't want to go to the gym today. You know? Any of y'all been there? I don't want to go to the gym today. And so I decided, you know, I'm not going to go to the gym today. And so I went in and I made myself another cup of coffee. Now we're already knowing this is of the Lord, right? I made myself, Brother Chad's all over this. I made myself another cup of coffee and I grabbed my breakfast bar. Actually, my second breakfast bar. I already had one. I always eat one with my first cup of coffee with my Bible. It's really awesome. I mean, I love this. I can't wait. You know, I've got my Bible. I've got my my Clif Bar brownie, my coffee totally black, you know. You don't need to put anything in there. Black, Clif Bar, we're in business. So I'm thinking that was such a good time, I think I'm going to do it again. So I got another Clif Bar, I got my coffee, and I read through 3 full days of Bible reading in this morning. I'm not totally sure what time I got done, but I had a great time. You know, a lot of times people deal with their time at the gym in the same way that I did this morning, where they say, you know, I don't really feel like going to the gym today, and so I didn't go. Well, if you make a habit of saying, I don't feel like going to the gym today, and then tomorrow you'll say, I don't feel like going to the gym today, and then the next day you'll say, I don't feel like, you see what I'm saying? Eventually, you won't even get up and say that. You'll realize one day, I need to go to the gym today. That's what's going to happen. I need to go to the gym today. That's what we do as Christians with our time with God in prayer. It's like we treat prayer like the gym, you know? We know we need to do it. But it's the easiest thing to skip and neglect. I'll do that tomorrow. But you see, we get ourselves in big trouble when we make it a habit of not spending time with God, the necessary time with God in prayer. And Christians often do this. I believe that's why this is the last piece of armor, because it's what makes the whole thing work. I mean, prayer, we need this. We need it every day. We need to find ourselves on our knees, whether we feel like it or not. Well, I just don't feel like it today. We need it today. And that means every day. The Christians in Ephesus were at spiritual boot camp, and they needed all of these pieces of armor to prepare them for the battle that they're going to face in the maturation process. Because every step we take as Christians in the maturing process, we're going to find ourselves in another level of spiritual battles. As the devil comes against us, as he fights against us in this process, he wants to knock us off of God's path for our life. He wants to do that to you. He'll bring distractions to you to get you out of God's path, out of the road of maturity and the process of maturing. He'll get you out of church. He'll get you away from godly people. He'll get you around people you shouldn't be around. And you know what allows us to get down that wrong road and get swung around and on the wrong path is because we've not prepared ourselves like we should with the armor of God. And so Paul here is given the equipment that the church needed to fight off the devil, and it was required because they didn't have the necessary equipment without these pieces of armor. We're not going to make it. We won't mature the way we should. We won't be faithful to God in our own strength. We need him. And so we need to be equipped with these things. And we can't escape the spiritual conflict, can we? Listen, if you think that you can get out of church, get away from the things of God in order to hide from spiritual battles, you are deceived. The spiritual battles are going to find you, and they'll never stop finding you. Whether you're in church or out of church, whether you stick your head in the sand or not, the spiritual conflicts are going to come. And so what we need is to have the pieces of armor that are going to protect us in this fight that we're going to have. Now, we titled this lesson series, and this is our final one, and most of this you could probably verbatim repeat it back to me, but I want to say this. I'll go through it in a quick way, but I want to give it to you one more time. The lesson title series is How to Prepare for Spiritual Attacks, okay? How to prepare for spiritual attacks. The first piece of armor was to be girded with the truth. Remember, we just read it in verse 14, to be girded with the truth. Now, what that means is they needed to remember, the church and we need to remember, never hide anything. And that would mean if you have a private life, that if everybody knew about it, if it was revealed and you were ashamed of it, then it shouldn't be hidden. Okay, that goes all the way down to every part of our life. If there's a sin there that's being hidden somewhere in your life, whether it's physical or in you, it needs to be revealed for what it is, a sin, and then it needs to be repented of and removed from your life. That's what we're saying there, to be girded with the truth. The second piece of armor was the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we say what we say about being dedicated to God, and that's what it means to be dedicated to God, because God is the standard of righteousness. Not the public school, not the government, not mom or dad. God is always the standard of righteousness. So therefore, we need to be dedicated to what God says is right. That's the breastplate of righteousness, being dedicated to God. That means make God number one. It means don't let things come before God. Well, we're not going to go to church because we're going to do this. No. No, here's what you need to do. I hope you're listening, because you're missing a critical piece, the breastplate, which protects your heart. Okay? Here's what we need to do. I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to be dedicated to God. That's what we need. So be in church. Be in your Bible. Be where you need to be. Dedicated to God. Okay? So the next piece, the third piece of armor, is having their feet shod with the preparation of peace. Now, this is to remember to always go to God first. With all decisions, go to God first. Make sure that you have peace, the peace of God, before decisions are made in your life. Decisions like taking a job, or who you're going to date, or what purchases you're going to make, and the list goes on and on. But always go to God before these decisions are made. All of it needs to be filtered through God. And we always need to be asking this question: what does God have to say about this decision? Go to God first. You need to go to God first. Okay, the fourth piece of armor was the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith was trusting that God's promises are always true. That's what faith means, trusting God. And so they needed to remember to take confidence in God. If God makes a promise, then we can know that He is not a liar. God will always keep His promises. So you need to allow God's truth to overcome your doubts. You have struggles about moving forward in life, then take confidence in God. Take confidence. Now, I wish I could preach all these again, but I don't have time. The fifth piece of armor was to receive the helmet of salvation. Now, they needed to remember to think like God thinks. This is what the helmet of salvation is. It's protecting your mind. These are spiritual pieces. And Paul brings the analogy in so that we'll remember this. But it's a helmet of salvation because God wants you to think like a saved person. The helmet of salvation. Think like a saved person. So you're saved. Think like God thinks. Yeah, that's what that means. Think like God thinks. Well, what does that look like in life? Well, here's what it looks like. Don't approve of what God doesn't approve of. That's what it means to think like God thinks. Does God approve of what you're doing? If you were to ask God, God, look what I'm doing here. Do you approve of this? If God says, no, I don't approve of this, then don't do it. You see? Think like God. You approve of what God approves of. And don't approve of what God doesn't approve of. That's what it means to have the helmet of salvation. It means to live like a saved person. The sixth piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we studied this last Wednesday. And this is that they needed to remember to be sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Be sensitive. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when you're in your Bible or when it's during the preaching time. And we've all, if you're saved, you know what this is like. Now, I'm just coming down here because I want you to get this. This Holy Spirit always speaks through His Word. He doesn't speak in any other way. He doesn't speak through strange ways. He always speaks through the Word of God, and He confirms the Word of God. So the Word of God is being preached, but you know it's true not because it's coming from Pastor Ben Moore, okay? You know it's true because it's coming from the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart, this is true, this is true. This, and so the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You need to be sensitive to His voice. That is the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S. He uses the Word of God to speak to your heart. Now you need to be sensitive to that. And we've all heard him speak to us, haven't we? If you've gotten saved, you remember what it felt like when he was speaking to you. Boy, I need to get saved. That's the Holy Spirit. And you got saved because you were sensitive to it. And you moved when the Spirit of God moved. That doesn't leave after you get saved. He continues to speak to you. He continues to lead you. The only reason we stop growing is because we're not sensitive to him anymore. We don't hear him anymore, but it's not his fault. We're not sensitive. Be sensitive to him. Listen for his voice. He'll speak to you. I promise you he will. He'll confirm things in you. Now, we have looked at the six first pieces. Now we're looking at the seventh and final piece of armor. Now, originally, whenever I was studying, starting in verse number 18 all the way to the end of this chapter, I didn't see, or rather, it didn't seem to me to be a piece of armor. Whenever you look at the context, it didn't seem to be applying to any particular part of the anatomy. Like you had the helmet or the sword, and you had all these things. And now you have prayer, but it didn't say, okay, so what piece of armor is prayer? And so I was thinking, you know, maybe this isn't a piece of the armament of God at all until I started digging down deep. And I really believe that what we have is a critical piece of the armor. Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Chad, I think it was you I was talking about this, that prayer is how you put on the pieces of armor, is what he had heard along the way. And I think there's some a level of truth to that. Even though in the text it doesn't say that, you know, Paul isn't saying, you put on the armor of God through prayer. But it seems to make sense that you can't really wear any of the pieces of armor if you don't have a prayer life. You know, so I mean, it makes sense that it applies to all of the pieces of armor. There's significance there. But the final piece of armor is clearly prayer. But understand what prayer is. Let's not forget what prayer is. Prayer ultimately is communication with God, isn't it? Like when you pray, you're not talking to the wall. Like some of you pray, you feel like you're talking to the wall. Well, that's not prayer. Or maybe whenever you pray, you're on your knees and you're like whenever I do, I get down on my knees and I bow down and I sort of put my hands like this, or, you know, it's just all different positions, and you feel like maybe you're talking to your paper or you're talking to the couch or your chair, wherever you are. That's not prayer. Prayer is communication with God. And so therefore, in applying this thing to this process, this idea, this application of prayer to our lives, communicating with God in the context of the armaments of God, is to remember, who are we talking to here? Our enemy is the devil, and God is our commander-in-chief. God is the general of the army that we're fighting for. You put the armor of God, whose force are you fighting for? Hello, we're on God's side. If you're on the other side, I can go ahead and tell you you're not going to win. We already know the end of the story. He's going to get cast in the bottomless pit, and I'm excited about that. He loses. Yeah. The devils are already, they've already lost, and so their days are numbered. But when we fight, we're on God's side, and when we pray, we're communicating with our general, and he's sovereign. He knows the beginning to the end. And so when you pray, you're talking, you are receiving commandments, you are receiving marching orders from the general who already knows the end of every battle. Therefore, we win every time if we will just pray. Isn't that cool? Like every battle that we face in life, every conflict that you have in life, you can have confidence that if you pray, you can win every time, because the general is sovereign. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows every step. If you take it just as he leads, it will lead you to victory every single time, because that's who he is. He is the victor. He's already won. He's not going to lead you to failure. So therefore, along the way, in times of prayer, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm too excited. In times of prayer, we feel that it's not working, or we're not having the victories that we felt that we should have because we're doing what God says, then we need to give it enough time to see God's whole plan unfold, because he's sovereign. He knows the beginning to the end. And what seems like failure to you is only a doorway to victory. But you have to trust by faith that you, in communicating with the general, the commander-in-chief, who's sovereign and knows the beginning to the end, is going to lead you to victory every time. So prayer is the critical piece, isn't it? I mean, we got all the armor, but we don't know where we're going. Hello, we're in trouble. Like the battle's that way and we're running that way. We need to know the marching orders. We got to stay in touch with the king. Yeah, so that's good stuff. Now, if you have your little slip of paper, you already know the title for today. But if you're taking notes, you can go ahead and note this. And today, the final piece of armor is this. Don't give up on prayer. And you can note that. Don't give up on prayer. Now, I say don't give up on prayer because it implies what we obviously do. We give up on prayer, don't we? Well, Pastor, I don't give up on prayer. Well, you're not being honest. Because we all have a tendency to give up on prayer. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, whenever you say, don't give up, and I'm not being honest? I pray. I pray every day. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you don't pray. You can pray every day and still have given up on prayer. That's what I want to teach you, the difference. The difference in spending time in prayer every day and actually not giving up on it. Okay? So that's what we're going to identify. And then, God willing, in the end, you will go ahead and decide that I'm not going to give up on prayer, because prayer is speaking to the general who knows our needs and can supply all of the needs that we have. Now, God wants us to always go to Him. He's our King, but He's our Father. He is everything to us. He's Jehovah Jireh. What's that mean? It means that He is God who provides. That's what it means. I am that I am your provider. I will provide. But here's what's exciting about that. That's not even in my notes. Jehovah Jireh, whenever you study the context of whenever it was first developed in the text, Jehovah Jireh meant that God supplied their need, but that in a way that was sovereign. He knew what their need was before they had it. He supplied their need before they had the need. Does that make sense? Before they even knew they had a need, God already supplied it. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. God knows your needs today. He's already supplied for them. And so prayer then is us understanding that we're going to a God in prayer and asking for Him to supply a need for us that He has already supplied. Okay? That's what He wants us to do. Now let's see that in our verse 18. Okay? Now, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's a lot of words here. We got to break this down. Now, let's start with the first few words, praying always. Now, praying always meant to pray in due measure to the need. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, because praying always, it doesn't mean that you need to always be on your knees in prayer. It doesn't mean that you need to be in a constant attitude of prayer, like whenever we see in other texts where it says, pray without ceasing. That's not what it means. Praying always here implies that they should pray always when they had a need. Okay? Praying always. So in other words, there needs to be that when there is a need, always, in all needs, pray. Does that make sense? So in any need that you have, any need, God says, in all ways, in all needs, pray. Okay? So we're starting to understand what God is wanting us to do, to pray whenever there's a need. And then He tells us how to do that, with all prayer. Now, that second word, prayer, it means to talk to God. Okay? The first praying always is whenever, anytime you have a need. When He says with all prayer, He's saying now, when you have a need, go to God. I'm just going to get ahead of myself here, but that's okay. When there's a need, God says, go to me, but that's not what we do. When we have a need, God's not usually the first one we go to. We usually do something else to try to figure it out. Not go to God first. Usually God's the last resort. When there's no other thing we can do, then we'll go to God. You know, and when it gets real bad, we'll call the pastor. You know. I'm not throwing indictments out there. I'm just simply saying this is how it tends to be with us. So praying always with all prayer, go to God, and supplication in the Spirit. Now, the phrase supplication here, on the other hand, has to do with communicating a specific need by asking or seeking. So the word supplication means ask God or seek God in prayer to meet the needs that you have. I mean, it's very clear. God wants us to go to Him and ask Him to take care of our needs. In the Spirit means there's a difference between asking God to take care of your needs and asking God to take care of your wants. God, I want this. Well, that's different than God, I need this. And supplication in the Spirit, capital S, means let and God knows the difference between our needs and our wants. We need to go to Him and ask Him to meet our needs. And that's very simple, but here's what He's saying. Pray, always, in all needs, go to God and ask Him to meet your needs. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. He wants us to have faith that we can go to Him whenever we have a need. I love that. But not just for ourselves, because when we have needs, we are to go to Him, but are we only supposed to pray for ourselves? No. Look at the next part, verse 18. So, praying always, and then in the last part of verse 18, it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? For all saints. And so, as we saw earlier, we're praying and asking God to meet our needs, which is biblical. Now He's saying, watching thereunto. Now that phrase, or that word watching thereunto, means to be sleepless. In a sense, they're to be attentive. So be watching. Watching for what? Well, I mean to the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ. For the people that are around you, not just yourself. And they're to notice that whenever others are struggling, they're to notice when their brothers have needs, and not to the neglect of them to meet my own needs, but that we pray, we go to God to meet our own needs, but that we're also watching and attentive to the needs of others, our brothers. Yeah. And as we looked at all of these, we're trying to see how God is using these things to point us to the armaments of God. And clearly, you know, we're in a spiritual battle, aren't we? And so prayer then equips us to meet our needs so that we can stay in the fight. God will give you all the pieces of armor. He'll give you all the strength. He'll give you all the nutrients you need. When you have a need, God will meet your needs. You say, well, you know, well, I'll get there, but I'll get there in our application here in a few minutes, but I'm going to say this anyway. Pastor, I tried prayer. No. You don't just try prayer in the sense that it didn't work for you. Yeah. He wants to meet your needs. And He's the only one who can. But then we can't just be so focused on ourselves that we're not caring about anybody else and the needs of the people that are around us, the brothers and sisters. We need to pray for each other. And so He goes on. He says, watching thereunto with all, what's that next word? Perseverance. Now, what's that word mean? The word perseverance. Anybody have any ideas? It's a good word. Don't give up. That's it. Don't give up. The key to understanding the struggle here that these Christians were having is understanding what the word perseverance means. Because it's exactly what we struggle with in our prayer times. It's not that we don't pray. It's that we don't keep praying. We give up on it. And Paul says here, whenever it's time to pray, we pray always. What does that mean? Perseverance. And that we're watching with perseverance. What's that mean? Don't give up. And over, Paul's repeating himself. Why is he so repetitive? Because he knows what our tendency is to not pray like we should. And that's why we don't have spiritual victories, and that's why our brothers and sisters all around us are falling like flies, because we're not praying like we should. And if you're honest with yourself, you know it's true, because God will meet your needs, and you pray, but you don't pray like you should. because along the way, for whatever reason, it's not worked, and we gave up on it. Paul says perseverance. Look what he says next. Supplication. That's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the only word other than prayer that's used two times in that verse. Look at verse 18 again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. There's the first time. In the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here's what we have. We have the same word used two times. Supplication, we already told you what it means, class. Who remembers? It just simply means asking. Asking God, I'm asking you to do this. That's supplication. Asking Him to do this. So you persevere, don't give up, asking Him. I'm not going to give up asking. Listen, my kids are good at this. Dad, I'm hungry. Give me some food. No, go away. The 30th time, take all the food. Just leave me alone. That's perseverance. They're good at it. And I'm bad at it. Just take it and leave, you know. But that's a good example. God wants us to be consistent and pray always with perseverance, but it always should be in both cases for our needs and for the needs of our brothers. All of it requires supplication. You're asking God to meet your needs, and you're asking God to meet the needs of your brothers. There's a spiritual need here. There's a spiritual need there. Hey, listen, we're not just praying for the people who are here. We're praying for the people who aren't here. And we're not just praying for the world. We're praying for brothers and sisters. He says, what's the last phrase of verse 18? All saints, right? Yeah, these are saved people. These are people that need to be in these pews. Well, you know, some people that are just barfing everywhere, so they don't need to be in the pews, but some people need to be here. You know what I mean? We're talking about brethren, and they're going through the fire. The devil is fighting them, so we need to be praying for them. The problem is we don't pray like we should. Why? Why is it? Because we wonder, don't we? We tend to wonder, is it really going to work? Yeah. I'm not really sure, Pastor, if this is going to work. I mean, I know he says pray always. I know he says watching, which means to be sleepless. Now, do you think God wants you to never sleep? No. It just means God wants you to always watch for the needs of the brothers and sisters, and pray with persistence, persevering, asking and asking and asking, never stop. The implication here is God will answer our request. The whole idea here is that God will not leave you without meeting your needs. The problem is we don't persevere like we should. And we need to deal with that tonight. If we're going to grow and don't give up on prayer, like we said, we're not going to give up, then we have to identify this in our own lives and figure out what's going on with us. Why do we miss it? Why don't we pray like we should? Why do we give up? And here's why. Because whenever we pray, and this is what we tend to do, and I know it's true for me, and I know that potentially all of you here have a tendency to do this. So grab a hold of this, okay? That when we pray, we expect an answer to our prayer in an allotted amount of time. When we pray, we go to God, we have expectations. Like, God, I'm going to ask you to do something in my life because I have a need. Or I'm going to ask you to do something in the life of somebody else because they have a need. And then we have expectations associated to our prayers. And so when God doesn't meet our expectations, apparently it doesn't work, right? And so, yeah, maybe we pray like for the food or spend a few minutes in the mornings in prayer praying like just generic stuff, like God, bless the day, and God, put your touch on us, and God, heal everybody who's sick, and just real general pray for the world type stuff, you know? And I'm not saying that that's wrong to do that. We need to spend time with God in prayer, but why don't we pray for specific things, specific needs in our life? Well, because I prayed for like, you know, a year or two and it didn't happen, so. But why'd you stop? Why didn't you continue praying? Why did you quit praying for that? or for the needs of somebody who is potentially in your family or in the church? Why don't we pray? Well, you know, we forgot, or it just doesn't seem like it's working. Well, this is the point. It does work. And God says, don't give up on it, because it does work. And then Paul, and I won't review this because we read it, but then Paul goes in and he tells them, now, with that in mind, pray for me. And he tells them exactly what he needs prayer for, to have boldness and preach the word, and to have, you know, that God would open the door to get the gospel to more people. I mean, this is a good prayer request. Very specific, isn't it? And Paul is trapped. He's in bondage. He needs to get the gospel into the world. You pray for me that I can get the gospel into the world, because I know God will answer your prayers for me. He'll do that. Listen, tonight I think that it's just simple, as we close up the book of Ephesians and we wrap up the armor of God, that we would remember that prayer always works, and God wants us tonight not to give up on it. So do you have a need? Then it's time to have faith to go to God and pray for it. Pray for your needs. What needs do you have? I mean, we're talking about spiritual needs. What spiritual needs do you have? Is there any of the armor of God that you feel is not practical for you because of whatever is going on? Do you have sin in your life? Do you ever feel like you're shackled in bondage to a certain sin? Well, yeah, we all get there, don't we? And I'm in bondage to this sin. Pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Well, you know, Pastor, I've been praying about this for 25 years, and there's no way I'm going to get rid of this out of my life. I'm never going to quit eating ding-dongs or Twinkies or whatever. What's your sin? I'm not saying that ding-dongs or Twinkies are sin. I'm just saying that sometimes we don't persevere to pray like we should, that God will, we wonder if God's even listening to us. But He does. He listens, and He will work, and He will answer your prayers. But you can't give up. Can't give up. Pray always. Persevere with perseverance. Watching. Where's so-and-so? Well, we're not gossiping. We care about each other. So we're going to pray. You know the difference between gossip? I just figured this out. Maybe you should write this down. I don't know. It might not be true. But you know the difference between gossip and somebody who really cares? It's prayer. Like if you are wanting to know about somebody else in the church, but you don't pray for them, gossip. But you want to know about somebody else in the church and your heart's broken and you go home and you pray, that's love. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And we all need it, because we're all in a spiritual battle. Now I see how this works with the armor of God. And I think in a sense you use it to put on all the pieces. But I think it's what gives us direction and strength and all of the energy that we need to be able to accomplish for God's glory what we need to accomplish to keep the devil away. So we need to refer. Hey, I'm not telling you tonight to go home and pray for an hour. I'm just telling you it could be tonight that we need to start praying again for some things we stopped praying for. Would you agree with that? I stopped praying about some needs that I have because I just lost hope. And I stopped praying for certain people in the church or in my family because I lost some hope there. It's time to start praying again. Persevere. Don't give up on it. Father, tonight we love you. We thank you for the faithfulness, for your faithfulness, and how through the Lord Jesus Christ we have hope. Always have hope. And God, thank you for this great truth that we have tonight. Lord, as we close out the book of Ephesians, the power of prayer and how that you'll meet our needs, God. It certainly is implied here that as we go to you, always go to you when there's a need, Lord, that you'll meet those needs. And it might require us to persevere, but Lord, you're faithful. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have faith, and God, help us to, Lord, move forward in prayer, God. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.